This season of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is proudly supported by My Music Staff.
What I found was I set some goals and I posted them online, and all of a sudden it was like, I have to be accountable to that now.
Welcome to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast, the place where teachers from around the world meet to share innovative ideas about music education. Listen and learn as we help you motivate your students, grow your income, expand your studio, and become a more creative piano teacher.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back again to Season 4, 2018 of the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. My name is Tim Topham, your host for this show, and if this is your first time here, thank you very much for tuning in. And even if this is your 149th time tuning in, then a very special thank you to you for sticking with this podcast for so long and giving me your ears for part of your week. It's an absolute delight to know that you're listening and that hopefully you're getting lots of value from this podcast. And I do appreciate all the great feedback that I get about the show. So thank you to new and older users and listeners. It's wonderful to have you out there. You're listening to episode number 149. Yes, we're getting very close to episode 150, which is next week. And I did want to welcome my Inner Circle Piano Teaching community members. The Creative Piano Teaching Podcast is your home for inspiration, ideas, business, and teaching strategies to help support your teaching and grow your studio. And in today's episode, we're going to be checking in with a teacher who took part in last December's five-day piano pivot and seeing what's changed in her studio almost 1 year on. Many of you listening were involved in that pivot or may have heard about it. And for those of you who took action on the daily modules, it was one of the most life-changing experiences that we've offered for free through timtopham.com. So we will actually be kickstarting a new piano pivot in January 2019 to start the new year. So stay tuned for more details about that a little bit later today. Also, do stay tuned until the end of this podcast for the very exciting news about my 150th episode, which is next week. I literally cannot believe that we're up to 150 episodes. It's absolutely crazy. So I want to celebrate by offering you my ultimate creative piano teaching podcast bundle. What is it and how can you get it? I'll tell you everything you need to know at the end, and I am super excited about this offer. Today's show notes and a full transcript are available right now at timtopham.com/episode149. So let me take you back to December 2017. I teamed up with my community manager, Nicola Canton, who many of you will know. We work together quite a bit, and she's right in my Inner Circle community area as our community manager, so helping me answer questions and organize the courses and all that kind of great stuff. And we decided that we wanted to put together a daily program of activities that teachers could do over a five-day period that would really have an impact on their studio for the coming year ahead. And we called it the five-day piano pivot. And the goal of this pivot was to set teachers up for the year ahead or the next 6 months, whatever it was, by getting them to take some time out of their busy schedules to complete a what we call a playbook. So I guess a workbook, but we made it a lot more fun than that. A playbook of activities, one each day, that was going to have a meaningful impact on both their teaching and also their studio. And it actually ended up going to 7 days because we decided that we couldn't fit it all in. So we did a bit of a pre-launch to get people thinking big picture. And then we did a little wrap-up at the end as well. So it was actually a 7-day pivot, but we've stuck with the name 5-day piano pivot because I think that is a really approachable amount of time. And if you're able to set aside, let's say, half an hour a day for the daily videos and then another half an hour to an hour a day on those days for actually completing the activities, then you will see, as you'll hear from my guest shortly, you'll see some great impacts in your studio. So, well, let's just go through what the actual schedule was all about. So the way it worked was we actually did this on Facebook Live and we've changed that up for this next version, which is starting in January 2019. And even if you're listening to this podcast episode after January 2019, you can still access this pivot at whatever time suits you. And the details will be on my website and also sent to everyone by email. So it's very much something that you can do at your own pace and in your own time. The videos, while we originally did it on Facebook, we now have created those outside of Facebook, so anyone can access those. And you're able to, as I said, fill out a playbook as we go through the videos. We talk through what needs to happen. Nicola and I discuss our own views on the questions. We talk to people who were live on that first ever time we did it last December. So you'll see questions coming up, you'll hear us answering those questions, and you'll be able to take action for each day. You'll also get to ask questions live with our Facebook community group as well for the Facebook Piano Pivot, I should say. So don't feel like you're kind of going to be left on your own. There's lots of people who've both done the pivot and will be doing it again who can answer your questions inside the Vibrant Music Studio Teachers Facebook, which is Nicola's Facebook group. So what does the schedule actually look like? Well, we've got, as I said, the 5 days, but before that, we've got a pre-launch day, which is all about dreaming big. One of the things that I find is really difficult to do when you're a teacher and you've probably got perhaps young children, you've got a family to run, you've got students coming in and out your door at awful hours, unsociable hours after school and in the early evening. You may be working on weekends. One of the things that's really difficult to do is find time to dream big. So on the pre-launch day of the pivot, we actually take you through our Blue Sky Brainstorm, which is helping you create a mindset you'll need to feel creative and set goals and really have success in the rest of the pivot. By a Blue Sky Brainstorm, we mean really taking a step back from where you're at in your business and your studio and your teaching right now and asking yourself some questions like, where do I actually want to go with this studio business? Am I trying to make it a really big thing? Am I okay with it just ticking over at the moment? Am I actually trying to wind down? Am I doing too much? Am I doing too little? Could I make more money? Am I comfortable with what I'm making? And what kind of students would I really like to teach? And what would I really like the vision in the future of my studio to look like? These are the kinds of questions we pose, and we actually give you a sheet that you can fill out, a very practical exercise in dreaming a little bit bigger than your kind of current day. And so this is a great thing to do when you've just got a little bit of time, the kids are at school, you're on holiday or something, so you've got some brain space. Then into day one. Day one is all about you, and there's no point planning big changes unless you actually look after yourself. So we'll actually take a snapshot of where you are at in your work and also your personal life and your health through looking at what we call the three key areas of you. So day one, all about you, your health, where you're at the moment, and how we can help you improve those things. Day two is all about your students. Where are you going and what are you trying to achieve for your students? So we'll be building a picture of your ideal student, which will form the basis of the next day, which is all about your teaching. Because there's not a lot of point, as you've probably heard me say, in thinking about what you're going to teach if you don't have a student and a goal in mind for that student. So day three is all about your teaching. We're going to help you plan the activities that will define your teaching in 2019 and beyond and help you work out where you need to spend your planning time. One thing that's really easy, I find, is to go to conferences or workshops and buy lots of fun books, get lots of new ideas from the speakers, and come home and wonder why you bought these books, wonder what on earth you're going to do with all the notes you've taken. And oftentimes it's so easy, isn't it, to go back to what you were just doing beforehand. Maybe you'll use a few of the new books, but oftentimes teaching doesn't change. And I think the main reason for that is that you really need to know what your goal is for your students and your studio before you know what you're going to teach. So there's no point getting all excited about some improv or using tech in the studio and workshops about those things if they're not really things that are in your long-term vision or even your short-term vision for your students, or you can't see why and how they're connected to what you're trying to do for your students. So day three is all about teaching, and that's what we're going to help you sort out. Day four is all about your music. I just mentioned music before in conferences. Put your hand up if you have too much sheet music already. Yes, they're books on top of the piano, under the piano. They're collecting dust in the garage. They're in boxes. They're on shelves. If you're like me and most teachers, you have probably too much sheet music already. So in day four, looking at your music, we're actually going to help you come to grips with your library and make the most of all the music you have by talking about a little bit of creativity with pieces, but also about just organizing your music. So getting some structure in place, getting rid of things you never use, perhaps leaving them in your student reception area so that students could just take them if you wanted to do that, or maybe you'll sell them online or whatever it is. We'll also give you some idea about how much money you should be spending on all your music books so you don't go to a conference and suddenly realize you've spent $500 that you really, one, didn't need to spend and two, couldn't afford to spend. So we'll talk about budgets as well, and we'll give you some examples of studio organization methods. Day five is all about your business. There's no point planning all of the things that we've just been talking about if you don't have a strategy for running your business that suits and works with your lifestyle. And whether that's a studio of five students or an academy with five locations and 500 students, we're going to help you lay out a plan for your business on day five. One of the most interesting things, which my guest today, who I'm about to introduce you to, will be talking about, is something called calculating your effective hourly rate. One of the most important things we did in, or we're doing in the day five of the business, is looking at your expenses and your income and working out how much you're actually getting paid per hour, because it's not what you probably think it is. So that's all about, all introduced on day five. And then finally, we include a bonus wrap-up day to help you draw all the ideas together and feel confident about your next steps. The videos for each day are no longer than 30 minutes, mostly between 20 and 25 minutes. And this whole program is 100% free. There is absolutely no cost for doing the piano pivot. Even if you've already done it before, you're welcome to do it again. Or you can just tune into a couple of the videos if you miss them, and or you just wanted to go back and reassess perhaps where you are at. So what I thought I'd do is invite a participant from last year onto the show today to unpack the impact that this course had on her studio and teaching, including some profitability and security, confidence, growth, teaching, all of those things. And then after the interview, I'll share with you how you can take part in the pivot yourself in the coming weeks as we launch again at the start of 2019. So my guest today has been playing the piano since she was five, but took a break for many years while attending nursing school and raising children. Missing piano and wanting to fulfill her dream of teaching piano again, she retired from nursing and resumed her piano studies and as an adult student, completing the upper level piano grades, as well as her elementary pedagogy certificate before going on to achieve her ALCM and ARCT diplomas in piano performance. A passionate believer in lifelong learning, she most recently completed her LLCM in duet piano performance and is a self-professed professional development junkie. She runs an active studio of 26 students of all ages and stages and enjoys finding new ways to engage and inspire her students so that they can enjoy music for the rest of their life. Welcome to the show today, Lisa Kiernan.
You're welcome. This is great. It's exciting.
I've been looking forward to it because we're going to be talking about the piano pivot in a moment and the effect that it's had on your business and your studio. But before we get there, can you give people a rundown of your studio? So whereabouts in the world are you? What kind of lessons do you teach? Groups, individual, all that kind of good stuff.
Okay. So I live in Calgary, Alberta in Canada. And currently I have 26 students ranging from preschool age to adults. And lots in between, mostly private lessons. I do some buddy lessons. This is new for me this year, which is very exciting. And I do teach group lessons to all of my students every about 6 to 8 weeks.
Got it. And you're actually one of my Foundation Inner Circle members. You joined right back in March, I think, or sometime around then anyway. Mm-hmm. What can you remember what made you decide to join the Inner Circle?
Well, I'd been watching Facebook Lives and I'd seen a few of the free webinars and I was really quite intrigued. I knew that piano teaching could be more exciting both for myself and for students. And the things that I saw that you were offering kind of really grabbed me, really gravitated towards hooking kids and engaging them in their lessons. I don't want to be a babysitter for those students, right? And I wanted to something that would really make them want to come to piano lessons.
Yep. And I think the other challenge is, of course, just knowing what to do if you're not going to follow those kind of structures that we were all brought up in with our often classical traditional teaching, where the method book comes out, all that kind of stuff. So it's like, okay, well, what do we do? And that's what I love, obviously, sharing with members. So,
well, and there's so many supportive people there, right? Mm. The forums are great for ideas, new ideas. Mm.
So how creative would you have ranked your teaching out of 10 when you started your studio?
Probably about a 2.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't good. Very creative at all.
So can you think, just before we get into the effect of the actual piano pivot, more generally speaking, what are some of the things that have changed over the course of the last few years for you in the pedagogy side of your studio?
In the pedagogy side, definitely more emphasis on oral, using the ear, right? Hearing before seeing, right? I'm not such a huge, massive proponent of pushing note reading right away to my beginners. So I'm using different ideas, the notebook beginner, using rote teaching, things like that, playing around just by ear. And I think that's big. Kids tend to get, my experience with kids and reading very early is they get to a certain point and then they hit a wall. And that's when they start to slide downhill because they're really, truly not understanding what they're doing at the piano. So I knew there was gaps in my teaching that I needed to brush up on and fill. So
That's been great. And have you got any examples of the effect that you've seen that have over a couple of years, having worked with a beginner in a different way?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Just a stronger foundation all around. They can, they're not just reading by a finger number, which some of them tend to do. I still get students when I ask them what a note is, they'll say one.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one is not a note or one is not a note. but stronger intervallic readers, stronger ear. It just all around is more enjoyable for them. They're not tied to a bunch of black blobs on a page it's hard for them to decipher.
It's fantastic to hear. So let's talk about this piano pivot. And people listening who haven't heard about it before would probably be wondering what on earth we're talking about. So can you give people just a really quick overview of what the 5-day piano pivot was all about, what it looked like, and then we'll get into what effect it had for you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the piano pivot was 5 days and of webinars with Tim and Nicola Canton, and it covered everything from your dream studio through business practices. How do we figure out what our effective hourly rate is? And it was quite shocking to discover that we're really not making what we think we're making. How do we decide what we're going to teach? There was a method book audit. There was a studio clean out. There was just all sorts of things and lots of goal setting, lots of opportunities to set goals for things for not only teaching and business, but personal and health wellness.
So it was quite holistic, but I think focused more on the business and the goals and the strategy than on what you're actually teaching in lessons for the most part, wasn't it?
Yeah, right. Mm. Yeah, the overall picture.
And I remember it was kind of funny because Nicola and I had planned a 5-day piano pivot, and that's exactly what we called it. But it ended up being 7 days because we couldn't fit everything in, and we wanted to do a sort of pre-launch and then a wrap-up.
So pre-launch.
A 7-day piano pivot, but we'll stick to the name 5-day. So what made you decide to join us for that?
Well, again, I was kind of intrigued. I knew that I wanted some things to change about my studio in particular, not necessarily my teaching because I was sort of getting on the right track with that, but definitely with how I ran my studio and my ability to have the studio that I wanted. So that was probably the main reason. And the other reason was that it's just always so nice to join when there's a larger community present. There's so many great ideas and there's so many fantastic teachers out there. So that's also part of the drive when I signed up for it.
And it was wonderful to be able to share people's dreams and the worksheet. So we've got a workbook that goes along with this. We call it a playbook, actually. And and it was wonderful to see other people's sheets being filled out and they shared them online. I thought that that was just magic to me to be able to see. And as you say, that community aspect, it just makes doing something that maybe isn't that interesting, like a studio clean out. I mean, who really wants to do that? We all know we probably should, but no one really wants to do it. But if you put 100 people together and you're all doing it at once and sharing photos before and after, then suddenly it becomes fun.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
So what was the biggest, if you could narrow it down, and you may have mentioned it just before, what was the biggest aha moment for you or moments in the pivot?
I don't know if they were necessarily aha moments, but I'll tell you the two things that I could say were the biggest takeaway for me. And one was the first day when we did our What Your Dream Studio Looks Like. And it actually, reviewing that over the next few months, gave me the ability to say no to some people. I gently and very nicely let go of a family that were really not interested in piano lessons and didn't practice. And I just decided I didn't want them in my studio, because that's not who I want to teach. And that worked out really, really well. And I was also able to tell another family that I'm not going to rearrange my life because you want me to fit your kids in. So that to me was really empowering. And I think if I hadn't have had an image of what my studio should look like and who I want to teach, I might not have been able to do that. I probably would have rearranged my life.
Right. Wow, Lisa, that is actually really really powerful what you've just said. And it sounds kind of simple in some ways, but anyone who has taught students who are a bit of a struggle and you know perhaps aren't the right fit, it is really very difficult to have those conversations with parents and students. So how did you go about doing that? That's a challenge. Was it by email or did you speak to them in person?
Well, I spoke to the family first. They had registered and they came for their first, you know, their first lesson back, and the kids were not being cooperative. So I had a long chat with the dad in my driveway and I actually told him, don't bring your kids in today, right? This is not the moment. I said, they're not going to learn from me. I'm not going to enjoy the lesson and neither are they. So we did have a great conversation and I asked him to go home and think about a few things and discuss it with the family. And I let them know my perspective, that the work wasn't being done at home. And if the parents, they didn't, their kids, let's say they did other things, right? So you gave the analogy one time of hockey. You drop your kids at the rink, you have to do nothing more but go pick them up. And I was trying to explain to the parents that piano is not the same. They understood. They kind of left, you know, they didn't make a final decision, but I then contacted them by email after the two or three face-to-face conversations and said, we're done. Nicely, of course, right?
Yeah, of course.
That we're not going to continue piano lessons and best of luck and all the rest. So,
Now, a quick word from our sponsor, My Music Staff. Most of you have already heard about My Music Staff and how their software helps thousands of music teachers manage their businesses more efficiently. They handle all of your student management issues, scheduling, billing, and so much more. It's what I personally use in my own studio, and it's no surprise why it's the leading studio management software. What I think really makes My Music Staff stand out is its community-driven development and personal approach to customer support. It was such a pleasant surprise jumping into My Music Staff for the first time and realizing how in tune it was with my business and the ins and outs of a music studio. Since they partner with the music community to develop their software, they've been able to anticipate what teachers need and are constantly improving their software to exceed expectations. And a more recent example of responding to community feedback was the addition of a very popular feature, streaming video and audio files directly within the My Music Staff app. And that means that no longer do you have to download files to your device. So it makes it incredibly easy to share content with your students. My Music Staff is super easy to get up and running. The transition away from paper and spreadsheets is painless. If you do need help, the quality of support is second to none, and you'll always get a fully personalized response. I have yet to see the level of attention and care I receive from My Music Staff provided by any other software platforms I use, and I use a lot of software in my business. So what have you got to lose? Just go to mymusicstaff.com and sign up for their free 30-day trial today.
And had you not had that experience of thinking and dreaming about your ideal studio, the kind of students you want and where you want to take them, you're saying maybe that wouldn't have happened and you would have taken them on and just put up with it.
And put up with it. I know I would have. Yeah. Mm. So I think it was, this was really groundbreaking for me to be in charge of my studio. This is my job. This is my place. And I wasn't going to let anybody dictate to me or string me along when that's not where I want to be.
Right. Yep. And yeah. I get to decide what students I have, how it works.
That's right.
It's one of the pleasures, let's face it, of running our own businesses. We don't work for a school. Or if you are running your own business from home, you can choose. And I know one of the challenges is particularly for studios that are just beginning or teachers that are just starting, you don't have that luxury so much of being able to say no. It's kind of like, and I remember this when I began, it was like, you know what? I'll take anyone. If they're 80 or 8 or teenagers, they never practice. They practice a lot. I'll just take them all just to bring in income and get a start.
It's true. And I had only moved. I had moved to my new location only a year ago. So it wasn't like I was overly full. For the money, I could have certainly taken them. But it became more important to me to have the type of students that I want to teach and that want to be there, that want to learn from me. So.
And have you now been able to cover the lost income from that person?
Oh, yeah, I'm full.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm full, yeah.
And you're full of students so that suit your dream.
That's right, that want to be here. And I think, you know, the other thing I mentioned, there was two takeaways, goal setting. Now, I actually find it fairly easy to set goals. What is a little bit harder is definitely following through and carrying on with them. What I found was I set some goals and I posted them online, and all of a sudden it was like, I have to be accountable to that now. Like really accountable, because this whole community of teachers has seen what I said I was going to do. And that really spurred me on. And I've taken that into my own teaching and my own personal life as well. So it's really made a huge difference. Just the fact that I can clarify and articulate a goal means I'm 99% more likely to follow through on it.
It's actually incredibly powerful, but very small. It's a little bit like what you were saying before. It's a tiny little thing. Well, who would have thought that writing down a goal publicly would make you really accountable for achieving it? But it's true.
That's right. It is true. So maybe that was a bit of an aha moment for me. But as I said, I've translated it with my older students. And, you know, I find if we set a goal in a lesson for what's going to happen during the week, if I can get them to state what that goal is, they will do it more so than if I just wrote it down in their notebook, which they probably don't read anyway. Mm-hmm. But if they're the ones that have said, this week I will do X, Y, and Z, they usually come back with X, Y, and Z being completed. So I think it's a really powerful thing. They might not know that that's the reason they're doing it, but they own it then. It's their thing, and they have to be accountable for it. So it is very powerful.
Yeah. And it's another reason why I like forums for jotting down ideas and goals too. And why we have our growth journal forums and do our 4-week challenges inside the membership too, where people can actually go, okay, this is my week. This is the goal for this week. Everyone, I've set it. Now I'm going to go and do it. And I've done that for practicing before, just saying to everyone, okay, I'm going to practice an hour a day. And particularly as someone that gets seen a lot in the group, it's like, oh, it's a bit embarrassed when I have to come
if
back.
If you don't say, do what? It, right?
You didn't do it. So yeah. I think I agree. It is really, really powerful. And actually something that I'm really looking forward next year to seeing how I could make goal setting an even easier thing for teachers in the inner circle to be able to do and share with people. Stay tuned for some more on that. So you've talked about a couple of your aha moments. Let's kind of fast forward to the end of this year, because the Piano Pivot was almost a year ago. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that have changed in how you go about teaching? And I think you might have mentioned the buddies before. Was that a result of the conversations you had?
Yeah, it was actually one of the things that I had set aside to look more into, right? To look at buddy lessons. I think it's a fantastic way to teach. Mm. And I have got three families that are doing three sets of buddy lessons. And it's just, those are my favorite teaching days, actually. They're so much fun.
So tell everyone listening, what's a buddy lesson to you? Because people have different ideas about what that means.
Right. So for my school-age students, I take one student and she'll come for her private lesson for 40 minutes. And when she's done, another student comes and joins her and we do 20 minutes of work together. And that can be working on ensemble work, can be doing rhythm, games, all sorts of things we do together. We're doing solfege with all my buddy students right now. And then first student leaves after 20 minutes and the other student stays for her private lesson. And I modify it a little bit. I have two sets of siblings where the one is quite a bit younger. So he has a shorter private lesson, 20 minutes buddy time, and the older sibling has her longer lesson. So it works out fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. You've seen the result in the students. I mean, obviously I'm guessing they would enjoy the interaction, but do they get to do duets or play together or things like that?
Yep. Mm. We work on playing together, even if it's simple, because I had a brand newbie and a girl who'd been 2 years, but we still managed out hot cross buns and working on dragon dance with couple of them. So yeah, it is great. We get to the piano with both of them. They absolutely love it.
Mm. Oh, that's wonderful. And anything else that changed as a result over the last year?
Yeah, well, I did a few of the courses that were in the inner circle, notably the preschool beginner class. Mm-hmm. I did the four chord composing. Mm-hmm. I started the garage band one, and I am incorporating the chording in particular with my tween and teen students, all of them. And plans to do more with the younger set as well, but they're absolutely thinking it is the bomb.
Right.
That they can, what? You can play that?
Yeah. And it
It sounds like pop music, and we're delving actually into how do we now take those chords and here's an Ed Sheeran piece, let's go. Mm. And so it's been really great. And all of a sudden these kids, they get to play what they want to play. That's the biggest thing.
Right.
They don't want to play minuets.
That's right.
Yeah.
And a minuet might be good for them, but if that's all you're doing, then you're going to lose them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm well in agreement with that.
Yeah. So, I think too that working with the chords and composing, it's also bringing an element of technique, which maybe they don't actually realize that it's building their technique skills. So it's kind of a sneaky way. It's like mashing up zucchini and putting it in the cake, right? but they're definitely developing stronger skills, and they're developing stronger oral skills as well as reading skills. So.
Mm. Totally. And one of the earlier episodes this season 4, I was diving into the top 10 pop songs download with one of our other users of that and talking about that impact of the practical pop chord-based teaching. The effect that has on students' theory knowledge is huge, because they can make these really strong connections to music that they understand and know and love. Mm-hmm. And it's just a great way to do that. So, oh, wonderful. Sounds great.
Yeah,
and one of the other things you mentioned was effective hourly rate gave you a bit of a wake up, perhaps. I know it scared the pants off a few people who did it.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what that was all about and if it's had an effect on how you perhaps budget for things or charge for your lessons?
It really, when you calculate your effective hourly rate, a lot of teachers charge an hourly rate, but they're certainly not making that when you take into account your overhead, your heating, your air conditioning, your water, you know, all the things that go into the costs of running your studio from your home or a business if you were in a storefront, not to mention music. You know, that was another thing, how much money you spent on music. I did really good this year.
Well done. Well done.
That was bad. So I've behaved myself a little bit better this year. But yeah, it was quite an eye-opener to find out that I don't actually charge an hourly rate. I do a tuition base, but even when I broke it down, I was quite shocked at the disparity between what I thought I was making and what I'm actually bringing in. So it was an eye opener. I didn't make too many huge adjustments this September, just because there was other things that I felt I needed to focus on as well. Mm. But they're in the works. I constantly have my binder. I actually still use my piano pivot playbook.
Oh, fantastic.
I have had the calculation sheets out, as I had with Nicola's buddy lesson calculation thing as well. So I'm constantly reviewing.
Wow.
And we'll make changes accordingly.
That's so good to hear, Lisa. I'm really glad that it's still continuing to have an impact, and it's still a great reference for you.
That just
means that what we put together has been valuable, which is just wonderful to hear.
Yeah.
So any other kind of advice for teachers who are listening in regards to anything that you've tried in the last year that you think, I reckon some other teachers could give that a go?
Oh, absolutely. I think if you need a boost, even if you think that maybe you don't need to make major changes in your studio, but you're maybe looking for that one idea, you definitely need to get on the pivot next time. Like, it was just, it was so amazing. And so many people that I was able to connect with during that experience. But not only that, it gave me the impetus or the drive to delve even further. Like I said, I did some of the courses in the Inner Circle this summer, and I did some with Nicola as well. And it's really, really gave me great ideas and plans and a great framework for goal setting for the year with my students. What do I want my students to achieve this year? So there's so much out there, and your community is just so supportive, right? And there's so much there. So I would encourage any teacher who's even remotely curious or who's ever watched a Facebook Live or heard this thing about the pivot to jump on board, because it really did change things for me as a teacher.
No, that's so great to hear, Lisa. And thank you so much for sharing your story. Wonderful to hear how everything's going. It sounds very, very positive. And I can only imagine you've still got more plans ahead. So things are going to keep changing and evolving, which is great. So I asked you before what your creativity was when you started. What about now, out of 10? How are you feeling?
I'd say I'm edging to 7.5. So there's still definitely more that I want to do, but I can tell that my students are definitely more pumped walking in the door. They sometimes don't know what to expect, because we're not always going to start with this or scales, or we're not always going to start with oral work. You know, there's something different every time. And I think that element of surprise keeps them on their toes.
Absolutely.
But I think I've definitely come a long way. I see the value in it, I think. And that to me has been the biggest game changer, that I see the difference it's making with my students.
So, fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great, Lisa. Yeah. Well, look, thank you so much again for coming on the show today and giving us a little insight into the effect of the pivot on you. Really appreciate it.
Oh, you're very welcome. It was my pleasure.
Well, I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Lisa and unpacking some of the benefits of the changes that she made in her teaching, and also the impact that it's had both on her business and in her studio. Now, the great news, of course, is that you can rejoin, or you can join again, or you can do it for the first time, the Piano Pivot again at the start of 2019, as long as you're on my email list, because that's where we're going to send the details to. And what we've done, as I mentioned before, is we've repackaged the videos, the handouts, which includes the amazing full-color PDF playbook, all the links, download, and community chat into our 2019 release for teachers to join. And you can join this at a time that suits you. So while we're launching it in January, if you're in Australia here and you happen to spend January down at the beach, which is great with your family, then you can take it up through February or even into March. Whenever suits you, you're able to take up this opportunity. Each intake starts on a Sunday through to the following Saturday. So the Sunday being the pre-launch, you've got the 5 days of the week, and then the Saturday being the wrap-up. And you can watch these videos on those days at a time that suits you. We'll just be emailing them to you with the link, and then you can, as I said, interact and chat and ask questions in the Facebook community group, where we will be sending you a link to. If you already joined the pivot last year and would like to do it again, you are more than welcome, as I said. And, you know, perhaps you got distracted or couldn't implement on the changes you would have liked and you'd like some more support, then of course you're more than welcome to retake any part of the course. So I really hope you consider pivoting in January to kick off the new year. And remember that if it's better for you in February, that's totally fine. Just make sure you're on my email list and you'll get all the details. And if you're not on my email list and you're listening to this podcast, then the simplest way to get on my list is just to head to timtopham.com and scroll right down to the bottom of the page where there's a subscribe form. Okay, so on to our reminders. So next week, as I mentioned, episode number 150. I can't believe I've been doing this for, we started in February 2015. So this is 3 years on. And wow, what an amazing ride it's been. I have had so much fun doing this podcast. As you can tell, I like talking, but I really like interacting and I love interviewing. And the feedback I've been getting has just made me want to do it more. So I thought we need to do something really special for next week, which is the 150th episode. So what I've done is I've created something I've called the Ultimate Creative Piano Teaching Podcast Bundle. 150 creative lesson ideas and counting. So what you'll get in this bundle is all episodes available in MP3 format, so you can listen to them instantly on any device, computer, mobile, tablet. We're including 40, just over 40 podcast freebies and handouts, and over 100 transcripts in PDF form. And we're also giving you a handy content index that characterizes all episodes by topic as well as by guest speaker, so that you as a teacher can find answers to your teaching queries faster. It's sort of like a library on demand where you can quickly look, think for a category. Okay, I'm really interested in summer camps. You can click summer camps and you can see all the episodes that are about summer camps. Or you can have I think I remember Tim interviewing Philip Keverin. I wonder what episode number that was. So search for Philip Keverin, you'll be able to find it. It's such a great way to be able to index and use these podcasts as teaching resources. And I'm not offering this index in any other way except through this podcast bundle. Now, in addition to all that, if that wasn't enough, you'll also get access to exclusive discounts and bonus materials from my guest speakers as well as the interviewees who I've had on the show. You'll also get the most popular downloads from timtopham.com blogs, such as my left-hand pattern worksheet, my top 10 songs, and my three keys to a comprehensive piano lesson plan document. And you'll get all of this delivered to your door no matter where you are in the world. Yes, it really is the podcast bundle every piano teacher should own, and it will be delivered to you as a USB drive with all of that stuff preloaded and ready to go. The bundle will go on sale as of December 7, and it's only going to be available for a short period of time, so you'll need to get it while it's available. Now, the best thing to do is obviously listen out next week when I give you the final details, links, and launch information. But in the meantime, make sure you're subscribed to my email list so that we can keep you in the loop. You can just head to timtopham.com and scroll to the bottom, as I mentioned just a moment ago. Full details next week. I can't wait to unveil how you can get your hands on the Ultimate Creative Piano Teaching Podcast Bundle. It is one hell of a good deal. Now, next week on the podcast for the 150th episode, I thought we've got to do something special. So what I decided to do is put out my feelers to my contact network, and I've invited a team of some of my favorite expert teachers from around the world to come on the show together. We've never done this before, and share their thoughts on the future of piano pedagogy. And so what I invited each of them to do while we were all there live, it was quite fun to organize this one, was ask them to present their just a thought that we could all have a bit of a chat about. And it's such a great discussion. We recorded this a little while ago and we had such fun. I can't wait for you to meet the guests, including Bradley Sowash and Forrest Kinney, Lindell Kennedy, Nicola Canton, Paul Myatt, and Tom Donald from the London Contemporary School of Piano. Join us for a really fun conversation that's both enlightening. We have lots of great laughs and I know will be thought-provoking for many of you. Full details of how you can get the Ultimate Creative Piano Teaching Podcast Bundle as well, shipped to you before Christmas, will be released then. I'm Tim Topham and this is the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. Thank you so much for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude this evening's entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Piano Teaching Podcast. We'd love to help take your teaching to the next level as a member of our supportive community. Use the coupon Piano Podcast for $100 off an annual membership of Tim's Inner Circle today. To find out more, head to timtopham.com/community.